of a sudden I sort of felt him brush my shoulder and he leaned in and he said, "You're too fat to be seen on a beach." Like, these attitudes are happening in every single spa and salon. I make sure everyone knows where that was and they don't go there. How do we boost our revenues, generate our revenues, get new clients in, keep them in? And really, when it comes to inclusion, it starts before you've even got anyone to your door. And I would say,
your therapist told me I was too fat to be in your salon. Now, my heart would break if a client said this to me. I wouldn't know what to do because, yes, you can apologize, offer them a refund or a free service, but the reality is they'll probably never want to come back into your salon again. Now, it may not always be that obvious of a comment. Sometimes it can be a little bit more discreet, like, "I know a good exercise routine you should try." You know, it could be a comment like that. We don't want that sort of prejudice or comments in our salon or in our industry. Really, we want everybody, no matter their race, ethnicity, or size, to feel welcome and comfortable when they come inside of our salon. But have you ever done inclusion training in your salon? Or have you even looked at how you can be more inclusive, like proactively? I know I've never really thought about it before, which is why I'm really excited to be chatting to Skye. She's from Larger Luxury about beauty bias. Is your salon actually inclusive? But before we start, I want to let you know that this episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast is brought to you by Salon Mastery's Boardroom. The Boardroom is for salon owners who are already at the $1 million mark and are looking for a community of like-minded $1 million salon owners to elevate their salon to live a life of more freedom, more profit. So join us weekly behind closed doors, closed-door conversations with easy-to-implement leadership strategies, workshops geared specifically to the problems and challenges that only $1 million salons face. You can apply now. I'm going to leave the show notes in this episode. All right, enjoy the episode with Skye.
Skye, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Pleased to have you here.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
So, Skye, before we start on a very interesting topic, I would love for you to share. Who are you, Skye? Where are you in the world? What do you do? And what's the journey? How did you get there?
Well, my name is Skye, and hello to everyone. I'm calling in from very snowy Canada today. I'm in sort of central Canada, in Alberta, near the Rocky Mountains, if anyone's familiar. And I'm one half of Larger Luxury. So one of my dearest friends and colleagues, her name is Sherilyn, is the other half to this. And it's kind of unique. We are not salon owners ourselves. We come to this as the end user, as great lovers of salons. So we're actually international relations and diversity and inclusion professionals. We've traveled all over the world. And we come to this because jointly, we've been to 80 countries and we've never left a country without visiting a local salon or spa. It's just something we've really loved to do and really, really enjoyed and made it a passion. But as two women, we live in larger bodies and our bodies have been different shapes and sizes throughout our whole life, like many humans. And those experiences, unfortunately, they weren't always positive. Sometimes they were downright humiliating and left us in tears and wondering why we spent our time and our hard-earned money there. And so as we continue to do work in diversity and inclusion, we thought, you know, we want to blend our greatest passion, which is health, taking care of ourselves, beauty, relaxation, rejuvenation. And we want to make it so that other women and other people like us want to spend our time there. So that's what we did. We created this venture to revolutionize the industry so that everybody truly is worthy.
I love that. I love that so much. I would love to know, like, what does that look like for you on a daily basis in terms of your business? Like, what do you do? How does that manifest in a daily, weekly? Like, what is a week in the life of Skye look like?
What is the week in life? Well, talking to lots of wonderful people like yourself, first of all. But basically, a day in a life is working with owners, spa owners, salon owners, or beauty business owners on some of their greatest challenges, which we find are like how to fill up those appointment books, how to retain your clients, how to get great Google reviews. We imply inclusive strategies to all of that. So we look at how do you market more inclusively? How do you design your spaces in inclusive ways for a broad clientele? How do you have a diverse team yourself, actually? So how do you represent the communities that you're serving? So that's kind of what it looks like between calls or social media. And we do a lot of auditing. So in-spa audits, that's what our days look like.
Love that. Do you get to like test all the services yourself for, research?
Yes, we do.
I see
Make
some
sure
perks. I see
to
some
work
perks in this
that
job.
in. Yes, we be sure to work that in. Definitely. Yeah. But
So I
basically,
want to,
helping.
yeah, I want to dig into a little bit more of like what are the nuts and bolts of those things. Like I can see why it's really important, and I just love that you've recognize that this is something that people need help with, and that it, and to prioritize it. But what are some of those things when it comes to the practicals, like the do's and don'ts of inclusive marketing, but also service, the actual delivery of the
Service.
service?
So let me share a story with you that might kind of illuminate this, because there's three key areas that we work with owners on, and this story really hits on a key one. And this was many years ago. I was on the Mediterranean at a very luxurious spa resort, and I just had several treatments, and I decided to use the private beach area. And I was out there and I saw a gentleman who was setting up the umbrellas, and you could rent one of these umbrellas. So I was sitting in the nice folding chair and I just waved him over and said, I'd like to have an umbrella. And everything was fine. I was feeling great, blissful, blissed right out from my treatments. And all of a sudden, I sort of felt him brush my shoulder and he leaned in and he said, you're too fat to be seen on a beach. And this was the luxury
Wow.
establishment staff member. And,
Guy.
like, even as I tell you this story, this was many, many years ago, but I feel that hot sting of humiliation in my face. I feel like my voice is shaking a little bit to even like admit that this had happened. And in that moment, I wanted to be swallowed up by the sand. I didn't know what to do or where to go. And so I threw everything into my bag. I went immediately to my room, gathered everything up, checked out early, and went to a budget location a couple of blocks away. And to this day, I never went back there. And I tell in my circles, family, friends, I make sure everyone knows where that was, and they don't go there. But I share that story because there's many different areas that this applies, but one of them is how do we want people to feel, or how do we make people feel? And what are some ways that we can make them feel like they want to keep coming back, that they want to sing your name to the rooftops, right?
Wow, that blows my mind. And my mind immediately goes to how does a business owner consider that they might have staff members who have those feelings or might say those things? Like, I don't know if you let the business know, but the business could be carrying on for years and months and not realize that a team member had a prejudice and was saying things, because that was quite a discreet comment directly to you. So as a business owner, I go straight to what my responsibility is to make sure that my team, that I manage that. Like, I didn't even know it was a thing to be managed, which is, I guess, the whole purpose of your
Right.
job.
Right. Yes. So one of the key assumptions, I think, is what underlies kind of feelings of exclusion for large bodied people in a spa is that there is this assumption that every large person, 100% of the time, always is in some kind of process of changing or shrinking their body. And that's like some of us might be. And some of us might not. It's okay to just exist in the body that we have and not always need to or be assumed to be wanting to change it.
And so, Sky, how does that manifest in a salon environment? Like, how does somebody experience that from the staff member?
Well, again, I'll just share a little story. I was having a massage some years ago, and it was at a period in my life where I was quite a bit smaller. I had lost a significant amount of weight, and I was on the table, very vulnerable moment, right? Unclothed on the table. And the massage therapist said, like out of the blue, said to me, "Oh, you have so much skin here. Like, why aren't you exercising? I have a lot of movements I could show you." And again, that hot sting of humiliation, a completely unwanted comment, assuming, like, not knowing anything about me or my body or my journey. And I know for sure that she perceived, like, she was trying to help. She was trying to make a helpful comment, but it's not necessary. It's not kind, and it's not something I'm paying for, right?
Unsolicited advice.
And that's the thing. So, although this story sounds surprising, when you speak to humans who live in larger bodies or bodies outside of what's considered the norm, this is common. This is kind of par for the course. And in those days, I was so not living authentically and so kind of, ashamed of that kind of abuse and that weight stigma, that I, of course, did not report it or did not bring it to the attention. However, fast forward many years, and the work that I do, which the work of inclusion is really for everybody, and so I feel that should be me too. That should be people who look like me. And it's given me a little bit of healing, I think, to help others be empowered to walk in their full selves. It's sort of allowed me now to do that. And so I do let owners or, the customer service people, I do let them know. But I guess that, the key point is that I can guarantee even the most conscientious owner, the most well-trained establishment, weight stigma is so pervasive. I guarantee that even though it may not be known, these problems are coming up. Like, these attitudes are happening in every single spa and salon worldwide.
Hey, I actually just wanted to interrupt this podcast because I wanted to share quickly that my team and I are on a mission to elevate the salon industry. We're too freaking cool as an industry to be thought of as the school dropout career choice, and that salon owners, all that they do is cut and color hair and paint nails. Hang on a minute. We're actually salon CEOs. So, can you help us grow the reach of the podcast so more owners can listen and learn about life-changing business strategies, how to run their business, how to make a profitable investment in running a salon and live a life of freedom and profit? No more 60-hour weeks, no more overwhelm. We want to enjoy our business and elevate this industry. All you need to do to help this mission is to hit the subscribe button on this podcast. All right, let's jump back to the podcast.
Okay, well, let's dig into that a little bit because I mean, ultimately, the goal is we want all clients to feel welcomed, delighted, included. How do we go about that step, establishing that culture in our business, and especially, I guess, navigating the unknown beliefs and stigmas that our team would have because they would be wide and far, and we don't have control over that as new people come into our business. What can we do to make sure that whoever the client is, that there is a tolerance of inclusion?
So one fun fact maybe before digging into that is, so over here where I am in North America, 66% of people are considered plus size. So while it seems like that's the minority, it's actually the majority. And while that figure isn't as high in other parts of the world, it's certainly growing. And so it's really becoming a greater issue for absolutely everyone. And while so work has been done to reduce other stigmas, right, based on race or ethnicity or language, but actually weight stigma is increasing. So the best thing to do would be to just I would say, what is the value statement of your salon or spa, right? What do you hold to be the most true and the most representative of your beliefs as an owner and how you want to interact and heal and bring relaxation and rejuvenation to your community, and make those values be diverse and inclusive, and then share that with your team. So either through team meetings, or we call it inclusivity training. So it could be through formal training. It could be talking about these figures and statistics, or allowing your team a space maybe to explore some questions that they might have, or some trepidation they might have around talking about this, or serving clients in larger bodies. I think having these conversations in healthy ways is the best way to start. Let's stop kind of hiding the topic. Let's just bring it out
Yeah,
into the light.
I love that. Starting the conversation is the place to go. What would you give any tips on, like, how would you start that conversation? What would be a good opening point, like, for somebody who's never thought about this as a challenge that could be a scary conversation to have in a group environment? Any suggestions around that?
So the first thing always, and this is, so when I talk about values, so what is core to us is that there's always an opportunity to learn, and learning can never happen in a shame-based or a fear-based environment. So the very first tip I would share is not to open this conversation from the perspective of you've done something wrong, you've scared away our clients, you're not doing a good enough job. We've got a terrible Google review. What have you done? Right? This will close down the conversation. So a great way to start is, oh, so I read this interesting article, or I read this interesting statistic about larger bodies. Have you noticed larger bodies coming into to our salon? Have you noticed this? Have you had any challenges? Do you think there's a way we can tailor our services, or improve how we serve this group, right? Just like
Yeah.
curiosity, coming from curiosity, kind of bringing that topic up rather than like making everybody scared.
I listened to this podcast and then I thought
I was on the salon owners collective podcast, and we're going to have lunch today. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, I love that. And you mentioned a little bit earlier about focusing on the end goal being, how do we make people feel? Because it's not about the body, it's not about the things that we do even. It's like, actually, how do people feel while they're here, and how do they feel when they leave? I love that.
And there's a lot of things that can contribute to that. There's so many opportunities to make people feel like, so I've had the same hairdresser for 15 years. I'm never going to go to another hair artist. She is my ride or die. And it's primarily because of how she makes me feel. And it's the same thing for people living in large bodies, because we're excluded so, oftentimes violently from society, from the media, from public spaces. When we find somebody who values us and treats us as worthy and dignifies us in a healing space, we will never leave you. And we're going to bring all of our friends, all of our family, all of our colleagues, no matter their size, right? No matter what their diversity is. But I think it's a key thing for retention.
Yeah, I love that. I would like to touch on the marketing piece though, because I think there's an opportunity here, and I know you've got some thoughts around being inclusive in our marketing.
So I think that's probably on every business owner's mind right now, isn't it? How do we boost our revenues, generate our revenues, get new clients in, keep them in? And really, when it comes to inclusion, it starts before you've even got anyone to your door. And I would say, if I could boil it down to one thing, it would be representation. So if you want to expand your clientele, Does your clientele see themselves in all of your materials? So whether that be your actual website or any print that you release, in your social media channels, and then of course, actual imagery inside your salon. If I don't see myself there, or if other people in the community, regardless of background, don't see themselves there, what is the benefit for them to going there? Why would they choose you over so many competitors in your industry?
Yeah, and I feel like that's an easy one. Do you know, that's like a really easy action to take. I don't have to change too much. Like that's a fast win. And I think the whole concept of people seeing themselves in the marketing, that's at the root of the change of our belief, or the, you know, being aware that that's actually representation right there.
And I love how you say that's a quick win and not expensive, because it is, but it doesn't mean it's easy, right? It also doesn't mean it's easy. And I think there's so much, I think there's two things at play. First of all, every business owner is wearing multiple hats. I mean, Sherilyn and I deal with that every day. We're running everything. So to pay attention or to be cognizant and action every opportunity that comes up or every strategy that comes up, I think that's one reason why defaulting to the same imagery or the same messaging, that's why we are where we are. And then I think number two, the second reason is that, again, because the weight stigma is so high, I think there's a little bit of fear sometimes, even if it's not conscious, right? It's an unconscious bias, but I think there is fear around what will happen to my business, or how will my business be perceived if I'm suddenly advertising a non-ideal, you know, in air quotes, body type or visitor to my spa.
I take a different approach. You know, my mind goes immediately to the opportunity. When you start to talk about 66% of the market now fitting into this category in your area, but you know, it's a growing number. Yeah. This seems to me like a target market opportunity to tap into and get really clear about. Like, this is an opportunity here.
Yeah, and that's why we're in business, right? That's why we developed our whole revolution, because there is an opportunity. So we always say, like, our key message is, of course, it's the right thing to do. You can't argue with that. This is the right human thing to do. So at the heart of everything, Sherilyn and I are trying to change the world and bring equity. But at the end of the day, we need to stay in business, and salon owners need to make money, fill up their books, right? That's the whole reason. And so this is a market opportunity. This is an opportunity to stand out from your competitors, to make really deep connections within the community that are going to get your business through really rough times. Because like, I'm not going anywhere. People are not going anywhere. Our bodies, you know, change throughout a lifetime. There's always somebody that you can reach and make a raving loyal fan because you've got an inclusive environment.
Yeah, and I often get the conversation or the question, how do I stand out in my area? How do I make myself different? Everybody's doing the balayage. How can I be different?
Yeah.
Well, here's an opportunity to stand out and tap into a market. And doing the right thing is just a bonus.
It's just a bonus. Yeah. And like, there's so many, you know, quick wins. If we look at the low hanging fruit, so to speak. So it's Ramadan right now. And so I, you know, on our social media, we put out a nice little package on how to tailor your promotions to a Muslim audience during Ramadan, or what could be appropriate, or what might be inappropriate. And I haven't seen this coming really out of the industry at all for this time of the year. And so imagine how you can make a huge segment of your population feel like you're a safe space to be. They, you know, say Ramadan Mubarak. They can greet me They won't, I don't have to worry that I'll be pressured to have a refreshment or drink lots of water after the massage because they may be aware that I'm fasting. And so if I decline, they'll accept that and not push me more, right? So there's so much to do right now. And yesterday here, I mean, you're a day ahead, but yesterday here was the spring equinox. So that was the Nowruz holiday, which is widely celebrated in Persian and Central Asian cultures. And so that was another wonderful opportunity to have like a beautiful rose themed promotion or something.
I love that. I think,
Yeah.
opportunities are endless, actually.
They are. A little bit of creativity, a little bit of tapping into what's around you already. Are you optimizing, or even taking into, are you doing any focus groups or putting out a social media poll, like put out an Instagram story poll. Get to know who's in your neighborhood and what would they like to see, or do they celebrate this holiday? Just try it out and see what happens.
I love this guy. This has been super, super great. Now, you and your business partner, your owners, and I would love to know, what is it, a quote or a mantra or something that you or you both keep sort of front and center to keep, let's say, to keep sane, but maybe stay inspired?
So what inspires me every day is we all know the golden rule, treat others as you would like to be treated. But in our line of work, we really follow the platinum rule, treat others as they would like to be treated. And I think that guides
Yes.
everything that we do. It guides all our questioning. Who are you? What do you need to thrive? And how can we like rise up and support you?
I love that so much. All right. What about a book, a podcast, or a group even that you think all salon owners should be part of?
Well, this one for sure, your community for sure, of course. And also, Sherilyn and I spent months actually creating the inclusive marketing playbook for spas and beauty professionals. And it's just a beautiful ebook packed, jam-packed with strategies, toolkits, and trackers for an inclusive marketing overhaul in your business. And so I would, love to promote that. Think everyone
All
should
right.
read it.
I shall make sure we put the link to that in the show notes of this episode. I really appreciate that.
Thank
All
you.
right. I think today has been super enlightening. I loved your stories. That was like really eye-opening. And I love that we've now got some ideas, not only an opportunity to dig into, but some ideas to make sure people feel great, feel included, and build some really good re relationships through our experiences serving clients, but also in our marketing. So I really, really appreciate that. It's been very eye-opening and super interesting. All right, I know people are going to want to stalk you, find you,
Yes.
watch your dub dub and your socials and all the things.
Yeah. So we're largerluxury.com and our socials are Larger Luxury Official. So both Facebook and Instagram, Larger Luxury Official.
Amazing. All right. I shall too also put those links on the show notes of this episode. Skye, I really appreciate the time. This has been a super interesting conversation, and best of luck for you getting the message out there and helping more people be more inclusive.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Take care.
So, what do you think? I hope you've learned something new. I certainly did. And that you're already having conversations with your team about inclusion and how you can make everybody feel welcome in your salon, because it really is very important. Big thank you again to you, Skye, for joining us on the podcast. Now, I know I feel inspired from this conversation to think a little bit differently about what else can we do in an industry where we are wanting to be inclusive. It's not something we talk about enough or even think about, right? Because as Skye mentioned, one bad experience can ruin your entire reputation and a whole client base with one comment, and you've lost that client and her friends and her friends' friends forever. Do you know? Because one lost clients, they tell their friends, "Did you know the salon down the road aren't inclusive? And they said this to me." And that's the beginning of the end. So take this opportunity to talk to your team. Open those conversations, let them ask questions on how your salon can be more inclusive. Now, before you go, I'm hosting a live workshop next week in the Profitable and Successful Salon Owners Facebook group on how to recruit in a hiring crisis. So if you're thinking there are no stylists out there, no therapists out there, well, I'm going to tell you exactly where and how to find them. Just click the RSV button in the button below this episode. All right, thanks for joining me again on another episode of the podcast. See you next week. Ciao for now.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Tune in every week as I reveal the latest insights and advice on what it takes to truly master your inner salon CEO and master your salon success. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or visit us online at www.salonownerscollective.com. But make sure to join me in my Facebook group for answers to common questions and much, much more. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to tuning in with you again next week.